Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan.
And I am Alex.
And you are more than welcome to join us in the studio. Just call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That'll bring you into the studio directly with us. We are not on Facebook Live, unfortunately. However, you can still check out our Facebook pages. Just type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. It'll be the first one that pops up. Give us a like and a follow. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity Media's Facebook page. Do the same for them. While you're there, check out the website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WCMedia. The link is on all of our Facebook pages. Check out our YouTube channel, Wikicuriosity Media. We're on iTunes. If you want to check out all of our archived shows, just hit up Wikicuriosity Media, and then all of our shows will be up on there. They are alphabetical, and they go from oldest to newest, which is still weird to me. But anyway, you can also check out all of our archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/wikicuriosity. So, it's been a hectic week since we last broadcasted.
Yeah.
Christmas is in 10 days, literally, and having to make sure that all gifts are bought, you know, everything is taken care of, wrapping gifts, and, you know, trying to get ready for the 9th annual Polar Express party presented by Wikicuriosity Media. It has been really, really just kind of hectic and sometimes a little overwhelming this year. So, but
yeah,
pretty much got the last of everything done today. Just got to wait for it to all arrive by Amazon and then get it all wrapped up. It should be pretty much done by Sunday. So,
yeah. My week has been not so hectic. It's all been hectic in like one day. But yep. Other than that, I've been fine. Yeah. You know, cool. Finishing up things, packing.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. So, we have some very exciting news for our listeners, even though I know there's a whole lot of you listening right now. Maybe some of you will listen later, but we do have some very exciting news. It's exciting for us. we, along with the producer, are going to go see No Way Home tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yeah, we are going to an advanced screening, if you call it that. It's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, some of the theaters release movies, you know, like 6 hours before the actual release date of the movie. Either way, we're seeing it before most of the world. So
yeah.
Hopefully nothing goes wrong.
I don't foresee any issues.
I don't either. I kind of feel like I'm going to be doing like a Top Gear kind of race thing tomorrow.
Well, if you
that
leave,
be interesting.
Yeah, if you leave early enough, you'll get here, you know, in plenty of time, because we're not actually going until 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I can get down there before 10.
Absolutely. I have full faith and confidence in you. You know, you get here, take a quick short little nap, and then, you know, off to the movies. And what's really going to be interesting,
I had like a pseudo nightmare last night that I fell asleep during the movies.
Oh.
And it was the worst thing ever. We weren't watching Spider-Man though. I was with completely different people. But like, we watched the movie and then we were like, you know how you talk about a movie afterwards? And I was just giving like totally bogus facts about the movie. And they're like, what are you talking about? You were asleep the whole time. I was like, no, I wasn't. And then I woke up in a cold sweat, like, that better not happen, I swear to God. I will down, like, 30 Red Bulls if I have to.
Well, I don't think you're going to have an issue falling asleep during this movie.
No.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I usually do pretty good. I'm tired after I drive, but if I have to stay awake, I can.
Yeah.
If not, then I'm gone.
Like I said, you know, you get here... Even, you know, middle to late afternoon, you can take a 2-3 hour nap and then wake up, meet me at the theaters, and, you know, we go see it before opening night.
Yeah. So I've made many people jealous.
I have too. And so there's this one guy that I work with that absolutely wants to go see it. And he's closing with me tomorrow, which is funny. He's working with me tomorrow. And I told him Friday, I'm going to come in with just every spoiler that I can and just yell it through the entire store. And I had like 5 people tell me, if you do that, I swear to God, I'm going to stab you.
It almost feels like this movie is bigger than Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it feels like it's bigger. I don't know if it's because we haven't had a big Marvel movie like this in a while since Avengers Endgame. It just feels like we haven't had a big one since Endgame to where you have to, like, you cannot talk about it. You have to shut up about a week after you watch it or else you get crucified. Like,
well, I think...
It's just, like, Far From Home came out after Endgame. People are like, oh, whatever, it's just after Endgame Spider-Man movie. Wasn't much to spoil. And then after that, I think it was Black Widow, wasn't it?
I believe
so. What movie came out after Far From Home? I feel like there was one that came out after it.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was one. I think it was Black Widow because that's right when COVID hit and movie theaters shut down and stuff. Because then we got Black Widow, Shang-Chi... And then he turns.
Yeah.
And I have not seen Eternal yet. I'm waiting till January when it hits Disney Plus.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much to spoil with Eternals, but it's a pretty big movie. But this is going to be nuts. If people think what they think is going to happen, it's going to go crazy. I'm still on the fence about a lot of these theories. I'm still on the fence.
So I think the rumors surrounding the movie, especially with the the reveal of Doc Ock and Electro, Green Goblin, and Lizard. I think a lot of people are expecting, let's be honest, I think a lot of people are expecting to have Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in this movie.
Yeah, the problem is, Marvel's not known for keeping big secrets, whether they get spoiled, whether they release it in a trailer. Like in Avengers Endgame, they kind of spoil, they didn't spoil things, but you kind of like were like, okay. Or you can kind of see where it's going.
Yeah.
The thing is with Far From Home or No Way Home is we've seen everything. Basically, we got Willem Dafoe, Jamie Foxx, and Alfred Molina. We've had interviews with them. They're confirmed in the movie. Lizard has been shown in one frame, and we haven't heard nothing after that. He hasn't been seen. The actor or whatever who plays him hasn't done any interviews. We haven't heard anything of the Lizard or Sandman.
Yeah.
It's only been those three.
Well,
that, and
to be honest,
how come nobody in the world has been able to get a hold of Tobey Maguire? He hasn't done any statements, hasn't done anything. Like, that dude fell off the face of the earth. Andrew Garfield, he had a movie that came out recently, and he's been doing his rounds with that. And, you know, people, oh, are you in Spider-Man? He's like, no, here's my other movie that just came out. We haven't heard anything from those guys. Something strange that I saw, Jared Leto was on the red carpet for the movie. And he plays Morbius in January. I don't think he'll be in No Way Home. I think he's just showing his, like, appreciation. He's connected to the universe somehow.
Yeah.
But in the first Morbius trailer, we saw a mural of Toby's Spider-Man with Murderer written across it. People thought, oh, that's just Tom's in a different... No, that's straight up silver suit linings. That's, like, the suit design.
Yeah.
Why is that? And then there's like the Oz. There's just too many factors that are connecting things for them to not put those two in the movie. But at the same time, I don't know if it's possible.
We may if they do put them in the movie. I don't think we'll see them until either the end or the end credit scenes or the post credit scene.
Or is that a whole theory of? Who, have you seen that thing of, like, who kicked the lizard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... To me, you could chalk that up to, oh, the scaffolding hit him, because it does kind of look like the scaffolding hit him with Sandman. But, like, he did move in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and Marvel has been known to edit their trailers so as not to give...
Unless Doc Ock teamed up, because Doc Ock wasn't in that final battle scene. Unless that was Doc Ock and they edited him out to, you know, hide the reveal that Doc Ock turned good.
That's possible. But we will have answers tomorrow night.
Yes, and just a little bit over 24 hours, we will have answers.
Yes, in 27 hours and 45 minutes.
The only thing I'll be using my phone for is, well, what we're doing now, and GPS and music. That's all it'll be used for.
Yeah, like I'm staying off of social media tomorrow.
I tried today, but then I was just like action figure stuff. I just couldn't.
I mean, I scroll through Facebook, but anything that might have something to do with
I see Spider-Man, I'm like, nope.
Yeah. No, I was watching YouTube at lunch today, and there was a thing on there that said review of Spider-Man, no spoilers. I was like, nope. I don't even want to review. I haven't even watched so they released the first minute and the first 3 minutes of the movie on YouTube.
I seen the first minute one, but it was an ad on YouTube, and I was like, oh, okay. This seems interesting. But the 3 minute one I haven't seen.
I believe I could be wrong about the 3 minute. It may just be the 1 minute, but I haven't even seen that.
I skipped halfway through because it was an ad and there was like a 5 second thing. I saw the first 5 seconds of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, skip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
I don't want to know anything. Like, the guy at work was like, yeah, I watched the first minute. It's going to be phenomenal. I was like, I don't even want to watch the first minute. I am going to go see it tomorrow. Like, I don't want to know anything because I am watching it before 95% of the rest of the world. Before its original, before its release date. I am not gonna...
I had to brag about it, though, the other day. Because my friends, they were waiting on their friend to watch it because he was busy the days that they were going to watch it. But then he was free this day. It was like the 19th they were going to watch it. And they were fuming. They were like, I don't know if we can wait. Like, you might just have to go watch it by yourself. And then his game got canceled. His basketball game got canceled. So, like, we'll go watch it the 18th. And as soon as they said, oh, we can watch it the 18th, I was like, hey, guys, guess what? They're like, what? I was like, I'm watching it the 16th. I could just feel their anger. I was like, I don't have to tell you. At least you don't have to drive 8 hours to, you know, see it. But you know what? I'll take it. That's a fair trade. I would drive 8 hours to go see it, watch it, then drive 8 hours back.
I totally believe it. I would do the same. I would do this. If you said, hey, Dad, I've got tickets to go see No Way Home tonight, but you have to be here. Like, if you would have told me that earlier today, like, I would have left work. I would have been like, I got to go.
I've been having, like, fever dreams and just dreams for the past, like, 2 months of me going to a theater by myself with people, of just watching Spider-Man, and it would just be like a rerun of Far From Home, because I obviously don't know what No Way Home is going to be like. So it would be like Homecoming mixed with Far From Home in my dream. I was like, man, this is the greatest movie ever. No Way Home is amazing. And then I'll wake up and be like, that was just the other two movies. Just mixed. Like, it's just on my brain nonstop.
But yeah, I am... I can't even tell you how excited. If I wasn't closing last night, if I wasn't getting off at 9 and the movie theater wasn't 10 minutes down the street, like, I would have booked it for the first showing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I would have left
all ass down there.
Like, I would have left work early.
So, I was going to leave today, but I wasn't ready. Like, last night, I was like, you know, I could totally leave tomorrow. But I didn't have nothing wrapped. I wasn't packed. I didn't have laundry done. I just wasn't ready. And I was like, I don't know. Because it was really nice today up here. And it was, like, supposed to be really nice down there.
It is.
And then
it's really nice.
Tomorrow, it's going to be shitty. From here to Florida, it's supposed to be shitty. Rain, wind. I'm like, oh, come on. They really don't want me. The universe really doesn't want me down there. You know what really did the nail in the coffin? As I'm wrapping your guys' gifts, my mom goes, Alex, I want to give you something before you go down to your dad's. I'm like, okay. It's weird, but okay. She hands me a box. That's a heavy box. I'm like, damn. So I open the box, and it's a bag, and it's heavy. I'm like, what in the hell did she give me? I read on the side, emergency assistance bag. For your car. It's got a window breaker, seatbelt cutter, flare, or not a flare, but like a light, a vest, poncho, all the emergency needs you need. I'm like, damn, what the hell? I appreciate it, though. I really like it. It's really cool. I'll show you when I get down there. It's got jumper cables. I have two sets of jumper cables in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Two. And she goes, after your brother said he didn't have any jumper cables, I figured you guys should have some. I was like, Mom, I have jumper cables. He started his car. Or jumped his car. But now I have a second pair. And I have all these safety things, and I could not be more grateful.
Look, I'll be honest. One of the best Christmas gifts, and one of the best gifts that you can receive, period, is something that is going to keep you safe in an emergency.
It's like an emergency blanket, like one of those solar blanket things.
Yeah.
I've got everything in there. If I crash off the side, God forbid, I crashed off the side of the road. I just set up camp.
So, like, come get you.
Yeah.
And then bring you down a couple. We'll get your car towed. We'll come down. We'll watch No Way Home, and then we'll pick you up.
I'll be walking along this side of the road with my little strobe light and my little silver blanket. Please. I'll be shaking. I'll be like, please. I want to see Spider-Man. Please, someone stop.
Oh.
Take me to the nearest airport, please. Or train. I will get there somehow.
The kicker's going to be, so we're watching it at 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's not going to start at 10. It's not going to start until about 10:20.
Oh, yep. We got to get there before 10.
Well, yeah, obviously. So we can get, I mean, we've got assigned seats, so we're good.
Yeah.
We're, like, we've got our tickets. We've got our seats. We are confirmed 100%.
Confirmed 100% for the 16th of Thursday, the 16th of December.
Yes. At 2200 okay. hours. Theater 18. Seats J9 through 11.
You know, I'm keeping those tickets, right? I got all my tickets up there. I am keeping those.
I will have
mine.
To send you a screenshot.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. It's all online now.
Yeah. It's through the app.
I still go to old school theaters who give out tickets. But I'll frame the screenshot.
It's got my ugly picture in it. Just put a piece of paper over it and we'll be fine.
I'll cut it out and put mine like a fake ID.
There you go.
Oh, man. Tomorrow's going to be so hectic. I'm going to drive 8 hours. Sit in a movie theater for 2.5 hours. I'm going to crash so hard. I'll probably crash in the car.
But wait, there's more. So it's not going to start till about 10:30. We'll get 10:30, right?
Give or take 10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So the movie's not going to get done until 1 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then it's a 20-minute drive back home. So we're not going to be getting home till about 1:30. And then I have to take a shower. And then I have to get up. So
I have to unpack my car. Well, I'll get there before. Never mind.
Yeah. I won't be getting to bed until about 2. I have to get up at 6:30 the next morning to be at work at 8. Mm. I'm going to get maybe 4.5 hours of sleep.
But it's worth it.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it. Like, I'm going to tell my manager tomorrow, like, hey, is there any way you can allow me to come in an hour late? Because I'm going to be out till 1 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing till 1 o'clock in the morning? Dude, I'm going to go see Spider-Man.
You won't believe it. You're not going to believe it.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. So, yeah. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow about that. Can I come in just like an hour? That's all I'm asking. Instead of 8, let me come in till 9. Let me come in at 9. You're not going to be busy. You'll be fine.
Watch that be the busiest morning of the year.
Yeah, it's all right. He can handle it.
It'll be all right.
He'll bump out.
It's Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man. Come on now. And then Saturday, we've got Polar Express.
Yep.
And then Sunday, the only thing we've got going on is decorating cookies. So we'll probably start our Harry Potter marathon Sunday.
Yes.
It's a must every year.
Yep.
We've done it for the past, two or three years?
Mm-hmm. Every year I've been down there. And I watch it when I'm up here. So.
And then Monday, we're going to go see Santa and the big light show. And then nothing Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Harry Potter days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then Christmas Eve on Friday. Christmas on Saturday. And then recovery on Sunday.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So yeah, that's the rest of our week planned out. Week and a half. Spider-Man, Harry Potter, Polar Express, cookies, Santa,
D&D.
D&D? Yeah. We'll probably do D&D Friday night. I doubt we'll do it Christmas Eve. I don't think we're going to do a D&D session Christmas Eve. Because we do other things.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have to start it really early and probably not even play that long.
Yeah. And then we won't be doing a Monday session next Monday because we won't be there.
I just realized something. It's about D&D. It's about our story thing.
Okay.
The person that we're about to fight, assuming we're going to fight,
uh-huh.
We haven't talked or fought this person since last year Christmas session.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got teleported onto the ship by Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I caught on to him.
This is going to be our defining moment right here.
I'm going to kill her.
If I don't,
then another person will. I mean, I'll just sit in the back and then, you know, casually walk up and do one shot and blow their head off. You know, it's not like that was the biggest character we've been anticipating for, like, you know, 2 months.
No, the one character we've been anticipating for 2 months went down to 3 fucking shots.
It wasn't. Well, I took his guy, first of all. I was like, you're mine now. And then... And then we hit him once. I hit him once with the guy, and then he got hit again. Eslin shot him, and then I got bitched at for sitting in the back the whole time. Oh, you're just sitting in the back. So I was like, okay. Shabang. And killed the guy with one hit. That was the coolest natural 20 I've ever rolled.
I think our dungeon master was just like, okay.
He had to have been fuming.
Yeah, yeah, because... You know he was ready for a big ass fight, especially with the big guy.
I was going to attack the guy, and then I saw Control Undead. I was like, "Hey DM, he's undead, ain't he?" And he goes, "Oh yeah." I was like, "Okay, I need him to roll a Wisdom saving throw." And he failed because he sucks at Wisdom. I was like, "Okay, well that's mine now." And he had to look over my thing like 3 times, like, "What did this say?" I was like, "I don't know what to tell you. He's mine." That dude is mine.
I think he was both shocked, pissed, and proud all at the same time. Because this was the big guy we were supposed to fight that was supposed to beat the fuck out of us.
I killed him, too, because my shot went through him.
Yeah.
And hit Denaro in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I rolled, you know how many times I rolled that entire combat? I rolled... 4 times, and 4 attack rolls, 3 of them were misses, and 1 of them hit.
And the hit was a 20.
Yeah, and then I didn't even roll the saving throw. That was all him. And I don't have, you know, the guy's attacks didn't affect me because I'm simply built different, but he just couldn't get me.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
And then I was like, you want to come fucking help us? Like, why are you standing back there? Okay. With a new weapon I picked up, not even in game time, not even 2 hours ago, I picked it up. I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I told
the guy, too. The guy that we had to put the band on my arm. I know what the people listening have no idea what we're talking about, but it's trust me, it's awesome.
Just roll with it. Roll with it.
So somebody put on a band on my arm I have a helm of teleportation. D&D people know what I'm talking about. I couldn't teleport. And so we captured him, and he was on 1 hit point, and he bit his tongue off, and it made me so mad. Because I just didn't see the reason why he did it. I couldn't intimidate check him. I couldn't do any checks on him. And it was just kind of like a throwaway, like, you know, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to kill your master. I will kill him. And what do you know? That natural 20. I saw that 20 roll over. I was like, oh, my God. Either I'm going to kill him right now, or he is not going to be happy with me. That blew his head off.
I think that was one of the – so the DM likes to plan these big, elaborate
He takes a week or more. He takes a week or more to plan these out.
Yeah,
I totally fucked it up.
In two rolls. In two rolls, you completely screwed up his whole combat plan.
In one roll. I only rolled once for it, and then he rolled the other one. I don't have to tell you, that's not my problem anymore.
Yeah, that dude's mine now. You're not wrong.
The best part was, is he, the big guy was after me in initiative, so if I messed up that roll, I would have been screwed, because then he probably would have targeted me or something. But not only, I was like, I don't get an attack this round of shit if I do this. So I was like, you know, whatever, do it. I did it, and then I was like, oh, shoot, that's cool and all, but I could have attacked. And then he was like, okay, now it's big guy's turn. And I was like, oh, I attack now. I did get attacked this round.
So
that was awesome.
Of a guy, and the guy attacked his former master, beat the fuck out of him, and then I shot him in the head. And that's exactly how the combat went.
Basically. And we were so scared. We were playing it out, like, what if we sneak upstairs? What if we do this? What if we do that? Props
we were
to Eslam,
though.
His...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She snuck upstairs with my pistol. And
she had a fucking amazing roll on the pistol and on the damage. Like, it was 75 points of damage in one fucking shot.
We were using Devastator rounds. I think it's a made-up round by our DM, but basically it has a chance to implode or explode, and it chose the implode. So basically this guy had a gaping black hole in the center of his stomach for about 3 seconds. And he wasn't happy about that. He was vomiting up blood while this amorphous thing turned into this big blob. And then in game, 6 seconds later, I took control of. Not even 6 seconds later. That was that same round. So literally, like, 2 seconds later, I was like, "You're mine." And then not even 6 seconds later, everyone died. Everyone just dropped. I was like, "Oh, well, it's interesting."
Well, that was one of the shortest, hardest initiatives. That was one of the easiest, hard initiatives that we had to do.
So that was the boss fight?
Yeah.
Oh. Fair enough. So now we're stuck with another boss fight that he's just going to crank up to 10 after what we did.
The thing is the one character that is OP is not the one that landed the killing blow.
He landed one hit.
Yeah, it was literally our healer, our medic, that took
the guy
that took the headshot and was like, "I'm gonna fuck your couch here and here, and you're dead."
Fuck you and your couch.
Yeah, the fuck you part was taking control of his beast. The your couch part was the shot to the head.
I was so satisfied. I was so grumpy that whole evening, too. I didn't know what we were going to do. I thought we were going to get messed up. I was so cranky. And then everything played out. The battlefield was laid out. I was like, oh, my God. I actually read my character sheet. I can do this. Because I tried it before, and it failed. Completely fell on its face, failed. And I screwed up big time with it. But then I was like, ooh, I'll try it again. This time you're rolling, and he rolled it really bad with his dice, his bad dice.
Yeah.
And I had the biggest grin on my face when he said it failed. I was grinning ear to ear. I was like, oh, man, I just fucked this up for him so bad.
Well, the entire, like, party, as soon as you took control of that, we were like, oh, yeah, it's on now. And then you shot him in the head.
I was down on the spot, too.
Yeah. And then you shot him in the head, and he was like, and he's dead. And we're just like, there was a moment of shock. Like, did we just kill the big bad?
And we all rolled really good, though. Eslin hit him twice, and she did about 140 damage, 150 damage. And he was, like, kind of wobbling, and then Einar did another, like, what, 50, 70, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
High double-digit damage. And then Einar, this is just my favorite part. He was bitching at me. He was like, get up here. Help. I was like, fine, damn. I just took control of the guy. I did the guy thing. And he was like, no, you need to attack. And the DM made it to where in-game, Einar actually said that to me. Like, he turned around and yelled at me. I was like, okay. I walked up not even 10 feet and pulled out a gun. I was like, this will be interesting. He goes, all right, your first attack. I think I rolled and missed my first attack.
Your first attack missed, yeah.
And then I rolled again with a different set of dice, and it was a natural 20. And I was like, oh, ooh. Oh, and then I immediately said, I'm Divine Smite level 3 before I even did anything. So I had like 8d8 worth of stuff. It was about like 6 or 7. It was a lot of d8. I had to pull out all my d8 that I had. It was bad. It was 96 damage. It was nuts. I was like, well, that happened.
And then Einar was quiet the rest of the time. He's like, okay, you can just stay in the back. You're good. You're good.
He looked at, I could just feel Jeremy looking at me like, really? Why? He could have done that like last round.
Jeremy wanted the kill.
He did, but pew. What are you, I did? I did. Pew. Pew pew. Pew pew.
Gotcha.
Pew. Pew. Gotcha.
Oh, shit. All right. So tonight, we are reviewing the most recent season of Titans.
Yep.
Now, to give a little backstory, because I'm going to let you give a synopsis of the season.
Okay.
To give you a little backstory, for those of you who don't know, I've never been a real big DC live action fan. A lot of their properties have been absolute flops. I know that the CW shows do really good. I just can't get into them. To me, they're
real quick. Gotham Knights show is in development at the CW. We can talk more about that later, of what that entails. But yeah, continue.
And I haven't gotten into them. I've been told to watch that. I need to watch Gotham. It's on my list. I will watch it eventually. Some of the other, because I tried to watch, what was it, Superman and Lois, the newest one.
Yeah, I haven't got into that, but I was giving it a little bit time this season, let it simmer a little bit. And it's, turns out it's actually pretty good. I haven't watched it, but its reviews are off the charts.
I've watched a couple episodes, like the first couple episodes. And then I got onto something else, and I just haven't been back. So I'm not a big, I've watched the first season of Batwoman.
Mistake number one.
It was bad. I am kind of interested in The Flash and Arrow.
I watched season 1 through 5 of The Flash, and then I just stopped watching it. I think I watched a little bit of season 6, actually. I know season 7 of The Flash is kind of goofy. It's really silly. Like, just why would you do that sort of thing? But I heard season 8 picks back up of it, the show being really good. So I kind of want to get back into The Flash. The acting in The Flash is kind of corny, kind of cheesy. But
it's the same with all the CW, DC properties.
It's just how they, you know, demographic.
Yeah. It's for a younger demographic than me.
I'm a I was a huge Flash guy. Still kind of am. I like it. But, you know.
So anyway. a couple years ago, you came to me and said, hey, you need to watch Titans. At the time, it was only on the DC app, which was the failed app.
It was season 1, and it was on the DC app. I got it on disc. I just saw Titans. I was like, oh, great. I'm gonna pick that up.
But I didn't have a chance to, you know, a chance to watch it. And I was like, yeah, I'll watch it eventually whenever you know, I'm able to, or, you know, you bring down season one when you come down or whatever. And then HBO Max came out, and it came out on HBO Max.
HBO took over the properties and stuff of those shows.
Well, Warner Brothers, I think, owned HBO.
Instead of them doing it through, like, their DC app, instead of producing it through the DC, directly through DC, they outsourced it to HBO.
Yeah, which was the best thing that they could have done, because...
Yeah, they did it, like, halfway through season two.
Season one was good.
Yeah.
Season two was better. Season three was absolutely fucking phenomenal.
Yes, especially the beginning. Like, well, I mean, I thought the whole thing was amazing. People have their opinions, but it's whatever.
I'm going to let you go ahead and take it from here. Let you give the synopsis and stuff.
So, season of the whole show or just season three?
Let's go with season three.
All right, so season three kicks off. The Titans, they're still in San Diego. They're fighting crime, you know, doing Titans things, having fun.
A lot of media presence.
Yeah, Dick Grayson gets a call from Gotham saying Jason Todd has been killed by the Joker. In the meantime, Jason Todd is high on Scarecrow drugs and basically has no fear. So... he goes off and tries to fight the Joker by himself. Doesn't end up very well. He dies. Episode 2 comes around. The Titans have migrated to Gotham for the time being while Bruce, he can't handle it, so he leaves. Kills the Joker in the meantime. And he leaves. And the Titans are there to defend Gotham. This mysterious character, Red Hood, shows up and kind of has a one-on-one with Dick Grayson, Nightwing. And they're trying to figure out who it is. They don't know who this Red Hood character is. It's then revealed that it's Jason Todd. He's been brought back to life through the Lazarus Pit. You know, Jason Todd's doing other things around Gotham, messing things up, and then he's better known as Hawk, of Hawk and Dove, and he gets a bomb strapped to his heart with barbs, a super sensitive bomb, and Dove accidentally kills him by pulling a trigger that was armed to the bomb of a gun. One of the best episodes of the season, might I add, is episode 3. And then going throughout the season, they encounter Blackfire, Starfire's sister. Jason, you know, reveals how he was brought back to life. Bunch of flashbacks. And then we have some banter and flashbacks with Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon. And then the Titans figure out Scarecrow's operation. They shut it down. Huge victory for Titans. And then things go south pretty quick. Dick Grayson gets into a car accident. Jason Todd helps him. Wonder Girl and Raven are on Themyscira, where Wonder Girl is being revived from what happened in season two. And she goes to Gross World. She sees Hank. What's his name? Tim Drake is shot and killed by Jason. So they're all in, like, this afterlife world. And then they all come back. Donna Troy is making her way to Gotham with Raven following. Tim Drake comes back to life through shenanigans in the show. And then the Titans accidentally spill poison into the water system. And then... they try to fix it. The Titans are on the run because, you know, insider cop things within the GCPD. Dick Grayson gets shot in the neck and is killed by a random civilian who is on the side of Jason Todd. And then he gets put in the Lazarus Pit, comes back to life, has some flashbacks. And then they all come back and team up with Jason, Tim, and Dick, the three Robins of the show, and Gar, infiltrate Wayne Manor and take down a Scarecrow and the GCPD who have turned. And the rest of the Titans are reviving the city with their Lazarus cloud after a crane bomb goes off. And after that, the Titans come back as one, and they're on a road trip. Presumably, in season 4, they're on a road trip. I think I got everything. Jason and Dick kind of have like a brotherly moment where he's like, I don't want to kill you because I know what it's like to die. And I'm not about that anymore. And yeah, the whole season was just an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. So, like you said, the season kicks off with a bang.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a blunt instrument to
yeah.
the side of.
Did you see
Jason's
the makeup?
Head.
They didn't really show it in the show, but Jason's face, the makeup that they used, his face got split in half.
Damn.
Like his it's not like that, like he was crushed. His skin was busted and his face was off to the side. You can look it up. It's pretty gruesome, but phenomenal makeup work. And they only used it for a few shots. But phenomenal makeup work on HBO and DC's part. And yeah, Joker beats the hell out of Jason Todd and kills him. And then in turn, Bruce Wayne goes and kills the Joker. And I know Bruce Wayne doesn't kill whatever. Get over it. It's not called Batman, the show. It's Titans, the show. So, you know, I heard a lot of people whining last season that, oh, too much Bat Family, too much Bruce Wayne. Well, this season, they kind of got rid of all that.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm trying to look it up. I don't. It's not popping up on my on my search. I'll look it up later.
Yeah.
But so they did kind of go. I wouldn't say really kind of go away from the Bat Family on this one. They focused a lot on Bruce and Dick in season two.
Yeah.
Dick coming to terms with having to be his own person versus, you know, being Robin. And that's when he becomes Nightwing. This one was kind of the reconciliation between Barbara and Dick. We got to see how Barbara... Did we get to see? No, that's in Justice League. No, not Justice League. Fucking Young Justice. But we kind of get a glimpse of how Barbara's in a wheelchair.
Yeah. She loses her leg in this instead of just getting chopped by.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we kind of get, you know, the rekindling of the romance, I guess. But we see the connection between Dick and Barbara, and we get to see a lot more into their personal lives, more than what we usually get in pretty much any other DC property.
Yeah.
But this season was one gut punch after another.
Yeah, I mean, the Jason Todd death was kind of expected. We kind of knew that was happening.
Yeah. It's still pretty, like, right out of the bat. First couple minutes of the first episode, it's, hey, here's Jason Todd, dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, holy fuck, we know where this season's going. And then
two episodes later.
Yeah, we get to episode three.
Yeah.
Where, okay, so I've got to mention this. I know we've mentioned it on the air before, but I've got to mention this. So Miss Angel, she sits downstairs with me when I'm watching, you know, some of these shows, and she really doesn't pay attention. She's seen a couple of the episodes of Titans with me while I've been watching it. When Hank died in episode three, like, she put her phone down. She had a tear in her eye. She was like, what just happened? And I was like, and I'm sitting there, like, stunned, shocked. Like, are you fucking for real? They literally just killed off one of the main characters of the season, of the entire show. And I'm like, how, wait a minute. And we're both sitting there stunned as the credits roll. And she's got a tear in her eye. And I'm like, I can't wait a week to find out what the fuck happened. You know, that was one of the most, it's comparable. It is in direct correlation, same emotional effect to me, and probably to you,
yeah,
as Black Widow dying in Endgame, or
yeah,
Iron Man dying in Endgame.
I wouldn't say it's on the level of Iron Man, but on the level of Black Widow, definitely. Probably more
yeah,
so Black
probably
Widow.
More so
we
Black
don't,
Widow.
She was a good character. I'm not trying to say anything wrong with that.
She's a good supporting character.
I was just more connected to Hank in this show.
Yeah.
You know, after the first season, showing us his backstory and what his struggles were, and he overcame that. And then season two, he wants to help others, and he's been, you know, he was helping others. And season three, he just wants to rekindle his relationship with
Hank and Donna. Were getting back together.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she pulls that trigger and that gun. I was like, oh no. As soon as I didn't see a bullet go off, I was like, oh shit. And then I cut to him and I was like, oh no.
No. And you have Superboy and Crypto right there. And
Crypto,
I mean,
comes
Superboy
out
is literally a second away from being in range when the bomb goes off. There was like three heartbeats left, or like five or something like that.
Yeah, he had like four or five, and Superboy would have made it.
Yeah, and we're all like, okay, we're all on the edge of our seat, you know, and the hope is that Superboy gets there before Dom pulls the trigger, because we're all expecting the trigger to be, you know, the trigger of the gun to be the trigger for the bomb. We're expecting that because that's, you know, kind of plays into the mood of the episode.
Yeah, because Jason wasn't really fazed by the gun being pointed at him. Like,
yeah,
he didn't feel like he was in a vulnerable position at all. And then
what happened,
I was like, oh, come on.
You know, we're all expecting Superboy to be there at the last second to save the day. And he wasn't. And the bomb went off. And then Crypto comes walking
out.
That took a huge
toll on Superboy.
Yeah.
In the show.
Yeah.
You kind of saw it with him and Blackfire's relationship. Like, it didn't feel real, really. Like, he was remorseful, but it kind of like he was using her as like a distraction. Like, he obviously had feelings for her, but then when he destroyed her ship, he was like, I'm not, this ain't happening again, no way, I'm not losing more people. And then he felt bad and like kind of humanized them a little bit.
But it was definitely one of the most devastating moments in a TV show that I have seen in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you've got this whole redemption arc for Hank, and you want Hank and Dawn to get back together. You know, you're rooting for them because of, you know, the relationship that they have. And you're rooting for Hank because you know his backstory, you know his struggles. And, you know, you want to see him get better. And then that is all stripped away in the matter of 2 seconds. You know, that's taken away from the Titans. That is taken away from us, the viewers. That's taken away from even casual viewers that, you know the basic story but didn't watch, you know, didn't fully immerse themselves in every episode. And it was just one of those moments where you're just like, what the fuck? Like, how do I recover from this?
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Why would you do that to me? I think the biggest gut punch for me was Dick's death. I thought throughout this whole season they were kind of going to – I thought this was going to be Dick Grayson's last season, for a while there. Because things were kind of looking, I mean, they weren't really looking up for him, but
yeah,
he was winning.
He was going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and then I just figured as soon as I saw that gunshot and him get shot through that neck, I was like, oh, they fucking did it. I about stopped watching the show.
I was like, close.
I'm done. I'm not watching this no more. And then the next episode came out. I was like, oh. Oh, they're going to make him a villain now? Because he had the Joker costume on. I was like, they're going to make him a villain now? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
And then he goes up to Jason and is like, I'm sorry. And Jason's like, what? I just killed so many people. He's like, don't worry about it. You can help me. And I can help you.
Yeah.
And then he put the Nightwing costume back on. I was like, fuck yeah. That's my boy. That's Dick Grayson. and then that cop that Barbara, or not, or the, yeah, the cop that was an asshole to Barbara, he, that fight scene in Wayne Manor, when he's just messing up those cops, and then he has the laser pointed in the back of his head, I was like, ah, not again, nope, Mr. Grayson learned his lesson, and he flipped around, that was reminiscent of a scene in the animated movie, Batman Under the Red Hood. Where Batman dodges a bullet from Red Hood, throws a batarang, and he gets caught in the barrel and explodes the gun in Jason's hand. Dick Grayson knows he has a gun in the back of his head, and he's like, no, not again. And he swerves and throws his little batarang thing, and gets caught in the barrel. I was like, oh, they did it. And the gun exploded. I was like, oh, they did it. Dick Grayson did it. He did the thing.
He did the Batman thing.
Yeah, and then Jason comes around the corner like, what the hell? What the fuck? And then Tim walks in and Gar walks in. They're like, could I ask for help? And Dick Grayson, he's like, nah, I'm chilling.
I will say one of the moments that pissed me off the most was when Crane and... Jason took over Wayne Manor.
Yeah. I think Crane, I like how they dealt with Crane in this.
Yes. Yes.
I think he should have died, though. I think Jason should have put one between his head. Tim getting the final punch was fine. I was just expecting it, Jason to do something like that. But Tim being the light of the two, like, Dick's kind of the middle, Tim's the light, Jason's dark.
Yeah.
And Tim just, you know, hitting him with that right hook and hurting his hand, I was like, oh, good for you, Tim. Tim's never been a good, I mean, he's a great fighter. He's trained by Batman.
Yeah.
But he's not as good as the other two. And that kind of showed, that was like his first time punching someone in the face. And he punched him, and he was like, oh, shit. Like, it probably hurts.
Probably. But I will say the punishment that Crane got from Raven was a very, very fitting punishment.
And I'm glad Raven was the one to do it. I know she's like the only one that can kind of do that, but they would have found some way to warp his mind and, you know, fry his brain a little bit. But she's been affected more than most people in that show. Her older brother figure died. He's torn apart the family that she has, and she doesn't know what's going on, and then she starts whooping ass and taking names, and then giving those names to other people whose ass she has kicked, and then she just fries his brain. She's like, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to live in an endless nightmare. Yeah. Sucks to be you.
What's the matter? Scared? Now, that was pretty cool. She was just like, whap.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm...
So excited for season four. Like, they ended this so well that season four, I want them to introduce... The one and only character I want them to introduce is Wally West.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I figured something out. In the comics, there is a Titans, and then there's a Teen Titans. So the Titans are Donna, Wally, Dick, and Roy Harper. That's like the main four. And then the Teen Titans are like Robin, Beast Boy, the other Kid Flash, and Raven, and a few others. They're actually kids.
Fire. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Titans are those the older, the Teen Titans, but the older, and their base of operations is set in New York. The Titans Tower is right beside the Statue of Liberty. And certain things go on. It's kind of reminiscent of those comics. But Wally's a massive part of that. Donna, Dick, and Wally, a massive part of that team. And I want them to introduce Wally. I feel like he could be a key component of this team.
I would really like to see Wally introduced, like you said, because he is a key component. And, I mean, you have to have – you've got to have a speedster in this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had – in every iteration of anything having to do with the Justice League, Young Justice, Teen Titans, anything like that, we've always had a speedster in the mix. You know, we've had Kid Flash, we've had Wally West, we've had Barry Allen. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Flash. And... you know, we've had all of those, quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, sidekicks in there.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what, you know, Teen Titans and Titans and Young Justice is all about. It's giving the, quote-unquote, again, sidekicks their moment to shine.
Yeah. Their respect. They can do. They can do cool things, too.
You know, and... because that's one thing that really differs between Marvel and DC is DC likes to use sidekicks. Marvel does not.
Like sidekicks ground the heroes. Like, you kind of saw it between Peter and Tony Stark. Peter kind of grounded Tony a little bit, but Tony was already a grounded person after Iron Man 3. So.
Yeah.
There's not much to do there. And then the other heroes, they don't have sidekicks. But Batman, he is angry, vengeful. He needs that person that can ground him and make him human. I mean, he is human, but make him a person.
Yeah.
And that's Robin. You know, Superboy or Superman didn't have one for a while. And people are like, we don't like Superman. He's unrelatable. Well, Superman now has a wife and kids. And... now he has a sidekick. He's had two sidekicks by now. And then Flash the same way. You know.
Even Wonder Woman has Wonder Girl.
Yeah, I mean,
Green
I think
Arrow
every
has
every Justice Arrow. League member besides Cyborg has a sidekick. That's because Cyborg was a sidekick of sorts.
Yeah, he was on the Teen Titans before he became part of the Justice League.
Yeah. So whether... the sidekicks are you have to have them. I mean, you can do fine without them, as we saw with like Christopher Nolan, and then we haven't really seen live action sidekicks, but they just work so well. You can throw them in wherever.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that I like about DC is the concept of the sidekick. You know, and there's really no other better way to describe them. They are sidekicks.
They're there to do what the main hero can't do, and their children.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're there to support the main hero. I mean, of course, the first one, obviously, is Robin. You know, you had Batman, and then you had Batman and Robin. It's been the dynamic duo ever since. But pretty much every main character, especially in the Justice League, has had a sidekick or a partner in one form or another.
There was one Justice League member that was introduced. His first comic was called Icon and Rocket. It was his sidekick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they just do it pretty well. And now that they have the show Titans, who is the sidekicks now grown up and kind of working their way into being the heroes of the world... and they're picking up guys like Tim Drake and Gar and Raven, and they're – it's like second generation moving on, moving in.
Yeah.
And I would, I'm excited.
I would really like to see, I think in this next season, one of the things that I would like to see is I would like to see the Speedy Red Arrow Arsenal story arc.
Yeah. I think they'll do something. I feel like Roy Harper was mentioned in season 3, but they might not do too awfully much with him in season 4. I think we'll get more hints at him, but with the Titans going on a road trip, I feel like they'll stop through Central City.
Yeah.
And meet up with the Flash, Kid Flash. I feel like that'd be an awesome story arc if they did that. But I feel like they might do more stuff with Starfire and Tamaran and stuff. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and that would be good as a like a side story with Starfire and Blackfire and Tamaran and stuff like that. But I think, you know, the main storyline should include obviously Kid Flash.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something about Archers that I like. I love Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And I like Green Arrow. I don't like Green Arrow's cocky attitude, but you know, I like Green Arrow and I like Speedy, and you know, I like when Speedy becomes Red Arrow.
Yeah. I think they could do that. The problem with that, though, is Roy Harper is now an agent of Argus. Is he going to run around in a suit and tie and a pistol on his hip, or is he going to run around in a bright red costume and a bow and arrow?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be that's season 4's problem.
Yeah. They started filming for season 4, by the way.
I wonder, do they have, let me, I want to see. I want to see if I can see something real quick. Hold on. We'll see if they have anything about season 4. Results for Titans season 4. There's absolutely nothing on IMDb.
I was watching an Instagram live stream of Brenton Thwaites, the guy who plays Nightwing. And he said he had to do a lot of reading, or he did a lot of reading on like quantum mechanics and stuff like that to kind of understand it better, because they may do something with teleporting to Tamaran in the future, possibly in season 4 if the writers decide to go that way. That was his word.
Yeah. Let's see if I can... release date rumors, autumn 2022. I mean, that's roughly around when they release them. See, cast. So they're talking about bringing back Hank Hill, which we've speculated on. Starfire, Beast Boy, Raven, and Superboy. They haven't been confirmed, but that's expected, of course, obviously. Don't know if Donna Troy's going to be coming back.
I feel like she'll have, like, a side thing, like she did this season. Although she did say she was going to meet up with Don in France, or Paris.
Yeah.
So, you never know.
So, and this is coming from an article that was released 6 days ago. There's absolutely nothing on it. Nothing on Titan Season 4. Let's see. Release date for Season 4. Nothing. Cast of Season 4. Again, nothing's confirmed. Yeah, no announcements, no confirmations, nothing like that as of yet for Titans Season 4. So, yeah, I looked up the two most recent articles.
That's all right. We know it's confirmed. We know they might be filming. They're probably still in pre-production. Yeah. So season three, what do you rate it?
Oh, shit. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would rate, in comparison to the other two seasons, I would definitely rate it an 8 out of 10. As, you know, in conjunction with the other two seasons, as a series as a whole, I would probably give it about an 8.5, 8.6. Very close to a 9, maybe even 8.7, simply because there are obviously script issues. The actor that plays Superboy is kind of stiff when he acts, but I mean, it flows with his character, so there's not a whole lot to complain about with
I mean,
that.
He's basically playing a 1-year-old child and a, you know, 25-year-old man's body. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have done – so going, quote-unquote, off script, pun intended, with the whole Titans series, making it really, really dark, making it way more violent, and making it appeal more to an older crowd and an older generation – specifically your generation, the generation above you, and like the younger people of my generation, like me. I think that they have done a phenomenal job with that.
Yeah.
It's something that we need in it's the answer to the question that nobody asked in the superhero genre. But
yeah,
it's something that we need. You know, it's darker. It's bleak. It's not this, you know, cuddly, touchy-feely, you know, everything's going to be grand at the end. It is DC at its purest core.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah, as a standalone season, I would give it an 8.5. I think they did... I think it was shot well. The fight choreography was fantastic. The writing had its ups and downs here and there. There were some things I was like, you could have done without that. Casting, perfect, as always. As a series, seasons 1, 2, and 3, 9 out of 10 for me. And yes, I'm biased because I'm a DC guy. But casting is phenomenal. The choreography, phenomenal. The acting, phenomenal. The only problem I ever have with Titans is the writing can get kind of weird. It's like, why would they do that? Or like, maybe go without that. Or they could have done something different that would still fit into their story. But yeah, it's great. Good show. I love
it. Yeah.
I do think season 3 is as dark as they can get, though. I don't think they should go any darker than season 3.
No, I think season 4 needs to have a lighter tone to it. I mean, still keep the same...
It needs to be a bit more bubbly. Not Marvel, but it needs to be a bit more like Young Justice.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know? Or the DC AMU, that kind of feeling to it. It's not dark, but it's not light. But it's not, like, for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to make it a little more lighthearted, not as deep and dark, because this episode dealt with the death of three major superheroes. You know, we had Robin, Jason Todd, we had Nightwing, and we had Hank.
Yeah, it's not even like... Oh, they died. It's how they died and, like, the reason they died.
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bruce Wayne killing.
I think, Yeah, like, I think that's as dark as they've hit the bottom of the barrel in terms of darkness. They should not dig any further.
Yeah. This
if they do, it'll just be Saw, but with Batman and superheroes, you know?
Yeah, this season went off the deep end. Not in a bad way, because it was definitely
different. Like, the first two seasons were, like, psychological, like, messing with you. I mean, this season was, too. But this hit you so hard. Like, it hit like a Mack truck.
This season was a gut punch. There was so many.
In season two, they were like, Donna gets electrocuted. Oh, no. She'll be back. You know she'll be back. It's a part of the character. And then season three comes around, and they're like, oh, you dealt with Donna's death pretty well? Well, here's Jason's. Oh, you know Jason Todd's coming back. Okay. Yeah, Hank gets exploded. And you're just like, what the fuck? Timeout.
Yeah.
Excuse me? And then Nightwing gets shot in the neck, and he bleeds out? What?
And while all this was happening, Bruce Wayne kills the Joker. Like, beats the fuck out of him, kills him.
Yeah.
And then runs away and then tries to commit suicide.
By burning himself alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, holy fuck, this whole season, while it was such a phenomenal season and there were so many good aspects of the season, it was just it was an emotional roller coaster.
Let's just have a season where we take a pause. And like, Titans are good and together again since season one.
Yeah. Just, this season ripped apart the Titans, ripped apart us emotionally, and we need a season of recovery.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do something like this until at least season six or seven.
Yeah, because season one, it was, you know, the worst thing that happened in season one was Gar got the absolute shit beat out of him by Dick when he was mind controlled by Trigon. And that was like, oh my, okay, cool. And then season two, you know, Dick gets arrested. Jason almost dies. Connor's off the deep end. He doesn't know what's going on. There's just so much going on. Nobody really dies. Yeah, Donna gets electrocuted and Deathstroke dies. And then Dick becomes Nightwing. Boom. Win. Season three. Hey, guess what? Fuck you.
Yeah. 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 Season three was a... So the entire series starts off dark because we see... You're not expecting it, but you see Robin literally beating the shit out of people and cussing. Like, that's not what we're used to
first
with
scene
superhero
we see.
At all.
First scene we see with Robin, he's crushing two guys' ribs and saying, fuck Batman. And then he throws a, you know, Robin star at a guy's eye. It's like, time out, Robin. You take a chill pill, son.
Yeah, it started off with a bang and kept going, and then... So you're on this level playing field with Titans. Could you start out and you're up here? You're like at this top, you know, with anxiety, with, you know, the whole feeling throughout the series. Then season three comes up and it's like, oh, you think that's the worst we can do? No, it's the hold my beer, watch this season is what it is.
Yeah. Season four, quite literally, you need to take a chill pill. Maybe go to Tamaran. That should be fun. Just don't pull a Young Justice and kill a human off-world.
Oh,
spoilers
God.
For Young Justice Season 4, by the way.
We're not going to tell you who.
I won't elaborate any further.
Still pissed off at that.
I think...
It's been like four episodes, and I'm still pissed.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. We all said it with Wally, though. Like, oh, he'll come back, and it's been four seasons. Or two seasons since he died. But this one just seems a bit more plausible, especially with the other people that were involved, people that were in the future.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll just make another clone of Superboy. Who knows? Sorry, well, I just said it, but no.
Well, there you just spoiled the whole thing. Whatever. This show is all about spoilers. I don't give a fuck.
We've been saying spoilers all night long.
Look, if you don't know by now that this show is full of spoilers, I don't know what to tell you. We might even do a special episode just to spoil No Way Home for you. No, we're not going to do that. I wouldn't do that. I would not be that mean.
Or
are we?
Or we just might.
We might go live.
You'll never know. We'll go live and say Christmas special, and it'll just be nothing but No Way Home spoilers. So,
but
I just want
to
add this
counterpoint to that. Counterpoint to that, they're all going to be wrong spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, some of them are going to be wrong. Some of them are going to be right. You have to figure it out.
Did you know Spider-Man's in it?
Hey, guess what, guys? Doc Ock is in it. And Alfred Molina's playing him.
Guess what? You'll never believe it. It's a Marvel movie.
Hey. Wong's in it. Spoilers.
Guess what?
What?
Zendaya's in it. But I won't tell you what character she plays. You know, Tom Holland's in it too. I mean, he plays a pretty important role. I've been looking at my clock to see like where our time is, and I didn't have the actual timer up. I was on another page, and it said 7:16. I was like, oh shit, we got like 10 minutes left. And then it said 7:22. I was like, oh, we have like 5. And then I went back and looked. I went to the page and looked. We still have a half hour.
Uh-huh.
I was reading the rock clock backwards. It's like, shit, how do we have 36 minutes? And then I looked down at the thing. I was like, oh, it's only 7:20.
It's 7:20 at night.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for the last part of tonight's show, we're actually going to go a little bit lighter.
Santa dies.
In A Christmas Horror Story, yes, he does.
That would kind of be cool. I think they did that with Krampus, didn't they? That movie called Krampus?
No, Santa Claus is not in Krampus at all.
Yeah, I know that's Krampus, but it was a Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, it's literally called A Christmas Horror Story. Yeah, it's one of my favorite horror Christmas holiday things, along with Krampus and Rare Exports.
So, anyway, the third topic of tonight is...
We are going to be basically talking about our favorite holiday specials, whether it's movies, TV shows, even like commercials that kind of bring up that nostalgia within us, and the ones that really get us into the Christmas spirit. Because I don't know about you guys, but as an adult, sometimes it can be really, really hard. As a kid, you have that glee, you know, you have that joyful feeling. You have the week off, you have Christmas break, and you have all those presents under the tree, and you're excited, and, you know, Santa Claus is coming, and it's, you know, it's the excitement of Christmas, and, it's all that. As an adult, it's way different because you have the stress of the presents. You have the stress of making sure that Santa gets the kids' lists. You have, you know, all this stress, and it can be really, really hard for you to grab onto that Christmas spirit. You know, especially after last year, you know, after the past couple of years, you know, we all have taken a punch to the stomach. So tonight we wanted to talk about the ones that, you know, the media offerings that give us that Christmas spirit, that, you know, bring back those memories as a child, that make us nostalgic, that make us happy.
Okay. We didn't take a break tonight. Do we want to take a quick break before then?
If you need one, I'm good without, unless you need one.
I mean, I just need like a 30-second one.
Oh, well then, okay. We'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Drip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost. And I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and say, I guess I'd
Show.
All right. Taking a short little break there. Short little bathroom break. And we're back. So, Alex, I'm going to let you start off with the final topic for tonight's show. Unless you need me to start.
I'm good.
Okay.
So, like commercials and shows?
Commercials, TV shows, movies, you know, anything that makes you, you know, that brings back that feeling that you had as a child.
Okay. I have two commercials.
Okay.
The first one is that Hershey Kisses commercial. It looks like the Hershey Kisses are like in a triangle, and then they do the jingle bell or the... I don't remember what the song is.
Carol of the Bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does that. And then the last one goes like really fast. That one always gets me. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It's that time of year again, huh? And then the other one is the NBA did a holiday commercial with like all this. There's like five or six big NBA stars. And they play Jingle Bells. On like they shoot the ball and it goes in the hoop and the hoop has bells around it and they play Jingle Bells. It's obviously fake. They edit it that way. But it's a cool commercial. And it just every year I think of that commercial. But like shows, I don't know. I don't really get into like holiday shows all that much. Or holiday specials. I usually don't watch them. But, like, Harry Potter. I usually get into Harry Potter a lot this time of year. Yeah, I watch Star Wars, too, around this time of year. I usually watch it after Christmas, though. But, yeah.
Okay.
Snow. Snow on the ground gets me in the holiday spirit. I used to go sledding all the time with friends and whatnot. But yeah, generally after Thanksgiving and all the like the Black Friday commercials come on, it's just Christmas time. I'm jazzed. Let's go.
I can see that. I can understand that. So one of my commercials is the same as yours. It's the Hershey's Kisses commercial, because that's been around forever. They've updated it a little bit here and there and added some things to it. But the core of that commercial, when that commercial comes on and you have the Hershey's Kisses lined up and then they do the song, the Carol of the Bells, it brings back that feeling of now it's time for the spirit. You know, it makes you want to go out and get the red and green Hershey's Kisses and, you know, have them in a candy dish and, you know, all that. I mean, we can't have it here because we have asshole cats that, you know, will eat anything and everything that's, you know, food related.
The white chocolate and peppermint Hershey Kisses?
Yes.
I get a huge bag of those every year, and I usually destroy them before Christmas. I got them back in October this year, and they were gone by Thanksgiving. Those are the best Hershey Kiss of all time.
Other than the original, I agree with you. One of my favorite commercials is the M&M commercial, where they're walking through
the
house.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does exist. They do exist.
And they both pass out.
And then you got the peanut M&M. Santa? Yeah, that one gets me every year. And then another one that gets me that I always think about, it's a really old one. We don't ever see it anymore, unfortunately. But I still always remember it. Every once in a while, I'll catch it on, like, YouTube or whatever. You know, the best holiday commercials and stuff. It's an old Campbell's soup commercial. It starts out with the snowman trudging into the house, and then he sits down.
I've seen that one.
Yeah. And then they put the bowl of Campbell's chicken soup in front of him, and he melts, and it's this kid, and the kid lights up when he takes the bite.
It's not really this, but Mariah Carey, it's not just her song, it's just Mariah Carey in general. Because this year, she has her own McDonald's menu. Not just one item. She has a whole menu. And
she's very synonymous with
everywhere.
Now.
Yeah, that kind of ruined her career, but made it take off at the same time. Because like, now the only thing she's really known for anymore is being married to Nick Cannon and having a massive Christmas hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, that was the first, not the first. So it was, one of the first original Christmas songs that really took off and became part of, you know, the Christmas playlist.
Yeah, I know Ariana Grande did like a Christmas album thing, and that blew up like a year or two ago. And then Justin Bieber did the same thing around the same time, and those both blew up, and they aren't bad. Nothing beats that Mariah Carey.
No.
Like, everybody screams at the top of their lungs to try to get that high note that she hits. And it's just a good song. Like, Christmas song or not, it's a good song.
Yeah. So, there are two brands that used to put out big commercials during the Christmas holidays, and I really haven't seen them a whole lot here lately. And it kind of upsets me because I used to love it.
I think I know the two brands you're thinking of.
I'm gonna let you guess them and see if you're right.
Are they two of the same like product?
No.
Like, are they both okay?
Well,
Coke.
They're both drinks.
Coke.
Coke is one.
And Pepsi.
Pepsi is not. So
okay. I can't really think of any. But, yeah, Coke is a big one.
Yeah. I miss the Coca-Cola Bears.
Yeah.
I do. They were they had some of the, for lack of better terms, cutest commercials.
They were fun. They hit everyone. It's like, oh, look at that polar bear. He's got a Coke in his hand. And you want to go out and get a Coke. He's like,
yeah,
it's Christmas time. Drink a Coke. Why not?
Coke is synonymous with Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the Folgers commercials.
Oh, yeah.
The one that I miss the most is Christmas morning. The son comes home, goes into his parents' house, makes coffee, and, you know, the mother is awoken by the smell of coffee. She walks into the house and sees her son, presumably who she hasn't seen in a long time, and, you know, gives him a big hug. And, the mom and dad and son are all sitting around the table. And, you know, it's that feeling of your kids coming to visit you. It's that feeling of your family coming to see you, especially around, you know, this time of the year. You know, it brings that feeling of family to you, you know? And it's just a very wholesome commercial.
Yeah. I remember that commercial, but I don't think Folgers has put out a commercial in years. I haven't seen like a new Folgers commercial in a long time. I don't know if that's because I haven't been watching TV or if they just been not making commercials.
So I watch live TV, but the live TV that I watch isn't like mainstream live TV.
Yeah.
And I don't watch a lot of sitcoms, and that's usually where you would see those.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just thought of a massive Christmas thing, Christmas special.
Sure.
All of the Family Guy Christmas specials that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Those Family Guy ones, the one where they told the story of Jesus and Stewie was baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And they just do them every year, depending on when the seasons come out. But those specials have to be the best and funniest specials ever.
Yeah.
Big fan.
I do like it when, like, the big sitcoms and stuff like that, where they do holiday specials. I love the Big Bang Theory holiday specials. I used to love, like, when I would watch, like, Tool Time and stuff like that, when they would have, a specific episode focused on a Christmas theme. Maybe not necessarily Christmas Day, but like a Christmas theme. Okay. You know, and then they say, you know, Happy Holidays from, or Merry Christmas from, you know, the Big Bang Theory, or just, you know, Happy Holidays or whatever. And it involves you more into the episode.
Yeah.
So, but one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies, and I actually watched this last weekend, I think, and Sophia sat with me through the entire thing, like literally sat next to me through the entire thing, is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, we watched that the other day. With my grandparents.
I watched it.
It was interesting, to say the least.
So you kind of have to understand National Lampoon humor. And know a lot of like the traditions of the 80s and stuff like that, because it is a very, very 80s movie. But so it wasn't last weekend. I think it was the weekend before that, maybe. Yeah, I think it was the weekend before.
I think ours is Thanksgiving. I have no clue.
It was right after the last movie of the week that we did. And I just went downstairs and I wanted to watch it because we discussed 8-Bit Christmas is the movie that we reviewed. And it made me nostalgic because it's all about the 80s and that's my time period. You know, so I wanted to watch National Lampoon and nobody else wanted to watch it. You know, so I thought I was going to watch it by myself, which is fine. But Sophia sat with me through the whole thing and was looking at me weird at the parts that were funny that I was laughing at. She's like, why are you laughing? Because it's funny. He went off the deep end.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such an iconic Christmas movie because it is, you know, one dad's struggle to find the perfect Christmas gift for his family. You know, to provide the perfect Christmas and, it, you know, at the end, it's, you know, it is, it brings back the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big, I'm not big on the Christmas movies. Like Home Alone, I don't like watching Home Alone, any of the Home Alone movies. Christmas Story, I've never seen it, plan on seeing it.
Which is funny, ladies and gentlemen, because from 8 o'clock Christmas Eve till 8 o'clock Christmas Day, that is the only thing that is allowed on our TV, the main TV. That is the only thing that is allowed because it is 24 hours of A Christmas Story, and we play it on the TV. And I play 24 hours because it's a tradition in my family, and there is at least one moment in time where I will sit and I will watch the entire thing because I love that movie.
You've had it on. I just look and I'm like, okay, cool. It's on. And I just go somewhere. I'll sit down and watch it for a few. And I was like, this ain't hitting it. So I go and do something else or something. You know, it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We're doing all kinds of things. But yeah, I'm not a big Christmas person. My two favorite Christmas movies of all time that are legitimate Christmas movies, not a is it or is it not, like they are Christmas. National Lampoon's Griswold Family Christmas, where they're at the Griswold's house.
Yeah, Christmas Vacation.
Oh, I thought Christmas Vacation is when they went to Wally World. Or was that just Griswold's Family Vacation?
I think that's just it's just National Lampoon's Vacation. Christmas Vacation's with Cousin Eddie. And where the tree bird's down.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
great
what
movie.
I was talking
that's
about.
Like the
but...
only, that's like the only one that I like to sit down and watch because it's funny. And a lot of Christmas movies, they're like, oh, it's Christmas Day and nothing's going right. They're all the same to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Christmas it's fudged. It's over. And then there's Miracle at the end. But Christmas Vacation's like one thing after another. It's like they have ups and then they have downs and then nothing really goes wrong, but nothing really goes right. But it's just funny.
Yeah.
That one and The Grinch, the live action Grinch with Jim Carrey. Love it. Absolutely love it. That is my jam. Yeah, I think those are the only two that I, like, get excited for. I'm sure there's, like, another one. I don't know. You know me. I don't do Christmas movies, but I watch Harry Potter around Christmas time. Those are, like, that's, like, my Christmas thing. But those two movies, I can sit down and watch. They're pretty funny. In the spirit.
I can agree with that. I'm not a huge fan of the live-action Grinch. But it was done very well for what it was. It was done very well. I can sit through it. I can watch it.
Jim Carrey deserved an Oscar for that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can agree. I can actually agree because he did very, very well for that.
He had to sit through all that makeup and everything.
And it's a Ron Howard film. And I'm a fan of Ron Howard. One of the most popular Christmas movies, and I'm going to get absolutely crucified for this, that I really don't like and actually can't stand, and I won't watch it, is Elf.
I'm the same way. I don't like Elf. You know those old Tim Allen Santa Claus movies?
Yeah.
I hate those movies. I hate those movies with a burning passion.
Oh, my God.
Those are the like staples Christmas of this house. I hate it. It is so – there's like one of them that isn't too bad, actually. But I don't remember which one it was.
It's probably Santa Claus 2, where he has to go meet – where he has to get a wife. Jack Frost takes over.
The one with Jack Frost wasn't too bad, but I can't sit down and watch them. It makes my skin crawl. It's just, oh, my God. It's like the cliche Christmas thing. Sort of. Yeah, your dad turns into Santa Claus, but then Christmas is messed up. Oh, no. But your dad is also Santa Claus, so there's just some miracle that happens and it's all fixed. And it's just like, what the hell? They're just not fun to watch. I don't like watching them. I do like the Frosty the Snowman and Jack Frost movies, like those old movies, and then the Rudolph claymation. It's pretty.
Yeah,
it's you can't get mad at that. You can't hate that.
Those are staples. It's like the Grinch cartoon and Charlie Brown Christmas.
those Tim Allen Santa Claus movies. I used to watch them, and then at the end, I'd be like, I just wasted 2 hours. I could have been playing with my Christmas toys, or I could have been anticipating playing with my Christmas toys. Like, I might get crucified for that one, but that's my
in this
big
house.
Christmas
in this house, you probably would. Yeah.
But yeah, Elf. I'm with you with Elf. Elf isn't all that great.
I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan. Not saying that he's bad, because he's good at what he does. But what
honestly,
he does is not funny for me.
I haven't seen him in a lot of movies. I know he has a lot of movies, and I'm sure I've seen tons of them, but there's not one single Will Ferrell movie that just pops into my head besides, like, Anchor or whatever it's called, and I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Anchorman. You used to be – no, it was Austin – or shit, Ethan. That was really – really into Talladega Nights.
Oh, yeah. Me and Ethan had that movie on rerun all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah. That movie's actually pretty funny, though.
It is funny. It's his best.
Yeah, I think that's probably his best movie. But, yeah, Elf. I thought Elf came out in 2013. Because I saw like a thing for it, and I thought it was the trailer for Elf. I thought Elf came out in 2013. Elf came out in 2003.
Yeah.
When I Googled that, I was like, there's no way this came out in 2003. It didn't come out. You're playing with me. But apparently not.
So there are two movies that have come out recently that, in my eyes, could very easily become Christmas classics just because of the way they're done. And it's the Christmas Chronicles movies.
Yeah.
The ones on Netflix. Mm-hmm. They have the typical Christmas trope of, you know, Christmas is going away. You know, everybody's lost the Christmas spirit. If we don't get everything back together, you know, Christmas is going to be over. But they do it in such a fun and exciting way.
Yeah.
You know?
One that and you might think I'm crazy. But the Frozen and Frozen 2, I don't mind watching those around Christmas time. I know Frozen 1 annoyed the shit out of people, but Frozen 2 I thought was actually a good movie. Like, shot well, animated
bad.
Well.
It
was a fantastic
bad, yeah.
movie. But yeah, I can watch those two around Christmas time, and I have no problem with it.
So there's a couple that I watched as a kid. And one of them I have to bring up the name for, crap. It's an old 80s movie. So the first one that I'm talking about is another 80s movie, but it's called The Santa Claus. It's the story of Santa Claus. And it's also, it's about, so it's got Dudley Moore and Art Carney in it. Dudley Moore is an old you know, 80s comedian, or, you know, comedy actor. But Dudley Moore actually leaves the North Pole because his invention to help produce toys actually makes the toys worse. So he leaves the North Pole, goes to New York City, works for a big toy company, and then eventually reunites with Santa. Where have we heard that trope before? Where have we heard that? The biggest thing that pisses me off about Elf is a direct ripoff of that movie.
Things happen. It's either Christmas happens in New York or Christmas happens in Los Angeles or Chicago. Like, Christmas happens everywhere else in the world.
Okay. And the other one, let me make sure this is the right one. Yeah. The other one, it's, you know, of course, 84. So it's kind of old. But it's called The Night They Saved Christmas. Art Carney played Santa Claus in that one. Not in Santa Claus the movie. Let's see, who played Santa Claus? David Huddleston, that's right. Okay. And John Lithgow was actually in Santa Claus the movie. But The Night They Saved Christmas is, so it's about this family that moves up, you know, far up north, presumably in Alaska, and they're searching for oil. And they dynamite searching for oil. They're really close to the North Pole. And every time they dynamite, it shakes the North Pole. And, you know, so one of the kids goes to the North Pole and says, yes, it's Santa. It's Santa. He's real. I met him. And he tries to convince his dad. And then his wife and kids, go out looking for him. Or, you know, the mother and the kids go out looking for the younger child, and they get rescued by Santa, and the dad and the son, you know, they're left there for Christmas Eve, and then, you know, the miracle happens, and, you know, the mom and the kids come back, and, you know, then dad believes in Santa. And they don't bomb on this site to destroy the North Pole. They bomb over here, and that's where the oil is. Then everything turns out all right in the end. But that's one of those that, you know, takes me back to my childhood, simply because I watched it as a kid. I loved it. It was one of my favorite Christmas movies as a kid.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, we can't forget Mickey's Christmas Carol. That's a given.
Yeah. Wasn't there a recent Christmas Carol that came out? It was animated.
They've had a couple. They had one with starring Jim Carrey that was animated. They've had the Muppets Christmas Carol that just came out on HBO Max. Christmas Carol has been redone over and over and over again.
I'm thinking of the one with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. We're about down to our last 5 minutes. Do you have any last movies, shows, commercials that you want to mention?
Die Hard.
Yes. Yes. Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. They are both Christmas movies. I don't know what to tell you. Die Hard is a fucking Christmas movie.
Yep, and that is my final statement for tonight.
And so was Lethal Weapon, the first one. Okay, we are down to the last 5 minutes. I do want to put out that this will be the very last Cinephiles of the year. As of Saturday, Wicked Curiosity is going on a hiatus for 3 weeks. We will start back up on Sunday the 8th with a movie of the week, on a whole new platform. So you guys really need to check out our Facebook pages. We will be updating throughout the 3 weeks that we are on hiatus to let you guys know. I believe Guy and Glasses is having a show, one last show this week for Note by Note. But that will be the final show for Wiki Curiosity Media for the year. I want to say we hope that everybody has a fantastic holiday season, has a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you celebrate during this time. I hope it's fantastic. I hope it's with the ones you love. And, you know, I just hope you have a great holiday season. Have a fantastic new year. Let's start 22 off with a bang. Let's go into the next year with positive attitudes, love in our hearts, and the drive to move forward.
And be safe.
Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there putting their lives on the line every day for you. As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here next year when we start broadcasting on our new platform. We want you guys to have a fantastic holiday season. Stay tuned to the pages for pictures and updates and stuff like that. We love you guys. We truly do. Thank you for all of the love and support that you've given us over this past year. We'll see you next year.
Yep. Good night.
Good night.